Hello, and welcome to this podcast from the Oxford Institute for Energy Studies.
Welcome to the latest Oxford Institute for Energy Studies podcast. My name is David Ledesma, and I'm chairman of the Natural Gas Programme at the Institute. It's my great pleasure to be joined today by Jack Sharples, research fellow at the OIS, and we're here to discuss the key messages that came out of his recently published paper with a good title, you know, A Series of Unfortunate Events, Supply Side Causes of the Price Rally in 2021, An Outlook for the Coming Winter. Now, just to timestamp this recording, in the ever-changing market we're in, we're recording this podcast on the morning of Wednesday, the 15th of December, 2021. Jack, welcome back to the OIS podcast series.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
I understand that your paper is part of a trilogy. So can you perhaps tell us more about the three papers and, you know, where does today's podcast fit in? And also, why this paper now?
Well, this is the first of three papers that between them examine the causes of the gas price rally in 2021. So my paper, the first in the trilogy, focuses on the supply side, and that will be followed up by my colleague Anouk Honoré on the demand side, and then finally by Patrick Heather on trading activity, which was particularly pertinent between late August and through into October. So my paper therefore analyses dynamics in the components of European supply: production, pipeline imports, LNG imports, and storage withdrawals. Now, as a point of clarification before we begin, for the benefit of our listeners, I will use the term Europe to refer to the UK plus the EU, but to exclude Turkey. The reason for that is data granularity. Now, why the paper now? I think everybody is very familiar with the price movements, not only of the general price rally that we've seen in 2021 to date, but the exceptional price rises through September into early October, and how actually European prices haven't really fallen back very far from that peak. And in fact, this morning, as we record this podcast, European prices, in fact, have just surpassed the 5th of October peak. So this is a very current and volatile environment.
So let's now get to the content of your paper. And a simple question to begin with, for the benefit of the audience: what is the balance between production, pipeline imports, and LNG in European supply in 2021 to date?
So to split it between the three major components, production, pipelines and LNG, production has accounted for around 13% of supply. Meanwhile, pipeline imports are 68% and LNG 19%. So clearly pipeline imports are the dominant source of supply for Europe. Now, if we break that down, the share of Russian pipeline supplies in the total supply to the European market, that is excluding storage movements, is about 31%. And for Norway, it's 27%. And finally, for North Africa, it's about 8%. So, to put some headlines on it, LNG imports are exceeding production, and pipeline imports from Russia are almost equal to production and LNG imports combined. And finally, with Russia, of course, all of those pipeline imports are coming from a single company, unlike the pipeline imports from Norway that are actually arriving and sold by a whole raft of companies.
Okay, Jack, so how has total supply to the European market been in 2021, say, compared to recent years?
When we take together pipeline imports, LNG imports and production, and then add storage movements to that, we can get an estimate of implied consumption. And in the year to date, it's very similar to 2018, the last tight market year in Europe. That's around 427 BCM between January and November. Now, that's significantly lower than 2017 and 2019. They were about 10 BCM higher, and it's significantly higher than in 2020, when consumption, implied consumption, between January and November was around 414 BCM. So this suggests that European consumption has largely recovered from the COVID-impacted conditions of 2020 and is heading back towards something approaching normal.
Okay, so have there been any specific production issues then that have taken supply off the market this year?
The decline in European production is long-term and ongoing, so this is a constant theme. Just to look at the last several years, European production in the period January to November fell almost 40% between 2017 and 2021. So much of that decline has been in the Netherlands, with production at the giant Groningen field set to cease next year entirely. Now, the decline in Dutch production has not only caused a decline in overall European production, but when the The caps were first put in place on production at Groningen back in 2014-15. It took away a valuable source of seasonal swing in European supply. So that has left us a bit more dependent on storage for meeting seasonal swings. We've also seen what often flies under the radar a bit is an ongoing decline in production in the rest of the EU relating to the likes of Germany and Italy, and that decline in production is also unlikely to be reversed. However, in 2021 specifically, we also saw lower production in the UK and in Denmark due to maintenance issues. So in the UK, this was maintenance delayed from 2020 by COVID. In Denmark, this is a more planned reconstruction of offshore facilities around the Tyra gas field. Now, while production in the UK rebounded at the end of summer, Danish production isn't set to recover until 2023. So on the production side, it was really 2021 experienced the impact of a couple of short-term drops that overlaid a much more general ongoing decline. So as a result, the rebound in 2022 is likely to be only limited.
Yes, Jack, and people do forget about kind of the longer-term impact of the kind of the COVID difficulties, which, of course, we are still in. Well, look, why don't we move our discussion now to talk about pipeline supply? So let's start with the positives. Now, where have we seen an increase in pipeline supplies to Europe this year?
Most notably from North Africa, where the growth in supplies from Algeria to both Spain and Italy has offset a slight decline in supplies from Libya. So total supplies from North Africa to Europe in 2017 and 18 were around 35 BCM. This declined sharply in 2019 and 2020, and in 2021, supplies have been back at their previous level. However, to add an issue, a bit of a fly in the ointment, the cessation of gas transit from Algeria to Spain via Morocco following the expiry of the gas transit contract there on the 31st of October means that Algeria now only has one, not two pipelines with which to supply Spain. So that will cap volumes from North Africa to Europe this winter. Also on the upside, we've seen the launch of the Trans-Adriatic pipeline in January 2021, which brought additional volumes from Azerbaijan to Greece, Bulgaria and Italy. Now, those volumes are likely to be sustained for the next several years, so that's very much a more permanent upside, let's say. Finally, Norwegian supplies in the year to date have increased slightly compared to 2019 and 2020, but they are still notably below volumes that we saw in 2017 and 18. Now, the outlook for Norwegian production is a further increase in both 2022 and 2023, followed by a plateau out to 2025. But those production increases are going to be relatively modest. So I think next year we should see an increase in Norwegian supplies, but not exactly a torrent of gas, let's say.
A torrent of gas, that's something I need to envisage in my mind. Okay, well, look, why don't we now talk about the other side of the equation? So where have we seen lower than expected pipeline imports and why?
Where physical supplies to Europe, as measured at all of the cross-border interconnection points where Russian gas arrives into the European market, in the period January to November, were effectively flat year on year, around 131 BCM. Now that's a sharp decline from the levels of around 165 BCM that we saw between 2017 and 2019. Now to add a little nuance, in reality, the figure of how much gas Gazprom actually supplied to the European market this year is slightly higher because Gazprom drew down its European storage stocks in winter 2020-21 and hasn't replenished that storage. So the net withdrawal adds around 7 BCM to the amount physically supplied by Gazprom via pipelines to Europe this year. Now, given that Gazprom has met its long-term contract commitments, it would be all over the media if they hadn't. The shortfall has really been felt both, as I mentioned, in Gazprom's replenishment of its European storage and in Gazprom offering significantly less to the European spot market this year. Now, there are three potential reasons why Europe has received less Russian gas, and the reality may be a mix of all three. Firstly, we have seen a higher than usual call on Gazprom's production this year, which may have left them with less for sale on the spot market. This primarily concerns the significant drawdown of storage in Russia in the first quarter of this year, and then Gazprom's subsequent efforts to replenish that Russian storage throughout the summer, and indeed beyond. That storage replenishment in Russia continued until the 8th of October. It's also notable that despite higher production, Gazprom also supplied more to its domestic Russian market, to China and to Turkey. However, I would note that once the storage replenishment was complete on the 8th of November, here in Europe, we really expected a substantial increase in the flow of Russian gas to the European market. And that didn't really happen. So that triggered price increases in Europe. Now, secondly, Gazprom states that the majority of its long-term contract sales in Europe are now hub indexed. So Gazprom has a vested commercial interest in prices remaining high. In a supply long market, Gazprom is very much a price taker, as it was last year. But in a tight market, Gazprom can sustain prices by withholding volumes from the spot market to the benefit of their long-term contract portfolio revenues. Finally, Gazprom may be keeping the pressure on the Nord Stream 2 approval process, showing them what the European market looks like when we receive less Russian gas than we might otherwise expect, and indeed implying that additional volumes will only be available via Nord Stream 2. However, when I was preparing my notes for this podcast, I already had in mind that the approval process was likely to last until after the end of the present winter. And I think the comments by the German foreign minister this morning have only sort of added to that feeling, really, that Nord Stream 2 is unlikely to impact supplies this winter.
OK, Jack, so we've talked about European gas production. We've talked about pipeline imports. Of course, the third key supply of gas into Europe is LNG imports. So let's talk about that. So how have European LNG imports shifted in 2021, say, compared to previous years? And why is that?
Well, in 2019 and 2020, Europe imported record amounts of LNG as the European market simply absorbed excess volumes from a supply-long global market. So that was very definitely a surge, if you like. Moving into 2021, in the first quarter, Northeast Asia experienced a spell of very cold weather that led to price spikes there, particularly in mid-January, and LNG cargoes were thus drawn away from Europe to Asia. Throughout the summer, LNG has continued to flow to Asia for the purpose of replenishing their, albeit limited, storage, while other markets outside Europe and Asia have also seen increased demand. So, for example, in Brazil, where we've seen lower hydropower production and LNG stepping in to fill that gap. Now, at the same time, although global LNG supply has grown, it didn't grow as much as it should have done. This was due to unexpected shortages from suppliers around the world, a series of unconnected events, or indeed a series of unfortunate events. So these include the fire at the Hammerfest LNG export plant in Norway, feed gas shortages in Nigeria and Trinidad, and technical issues elsewhere. So the simple result is that LNG demand grew more quickly than supply, thus tightening the market. If we hadn't had all of these unexpected outages, then the LNG market at a global level would have been in far better balance. So as a consequence, the European LNG imports in the year to date are almost 15% lower than in 2019 and 2020. But they are still around two-thirds higher than in 2017 and 2018. So it appears that the new reality is that there is a lot more LNG available for Europe than there was even 4 or 3 years ago. Now, next year, when the unplanned outages are rectified and new supply comes on stream, the key determinant of market tightness will probably be demand. If demand doesn't grow as quickly as supply, then the market will loosen a little and more LNG will be available for Europe, which will then help to ease the supply-demand balance for us here.
I must say, Jack, as I listen to your kind of comments to these questions on supply, it does make us realise, of course, that Europe is very much a part of the global gas supply market through LNG and also through pipeline gas. But there's, of course, there's another element, isn't there? And that is storage. So why don't we talk about that for a minute? You know, what has the role of storage been in balancing the European market this year?
Well, in normal years, the change in storage stocks between the 1st of January and 31st of December in a given calendar year is not particularly large. So, for example, in 2017, we saw a net injection of less than 1 BCM during that calendar year. In 2018, it was slightly larger at around 5.5 BCM. But in 2019, storage stocks grew by 20 BCM in the calendar year. And in 2020, stocks grew by 14 BCM, despite the fact that we began the year with stocks already high. Now, this was the effect of storage absorbing excess volumes from the European market, which was in turn absorbing excess from the global LNG market. But in 2021, the picture is very different. We had strong withdrawals in the first quarter. So as LNG was being pulled away from Europe to Asia, we simply withdrew more from storage than we might otherwise have done. And in fact, European prices in January and February didn't really spike at all. We then had slow injections in Q2 and Q3, meaning that European stocks peaked in October at around 80 BCM, which is about 10 BCM than we would usually expect, and around 20 BCM below the exceptionally high storage stocks at the start of winter in 2019 and 2020. So we've started the winter with less in storage than usual. Now, since the 1st of November, European storage withdrawals have averaged about 0.5 BCM per day. Now, if we continue at that present rate, starting from the stocks that we have seen in the most recent data from the 12th of December, then it looks like stocks could be around 55 BCM by the end of this calendar year. Now, if that proves to be the case, then the net withdrawal in 2021 will be 20 BCM. So just as storage balanced the market in 2019 and 2020 by absorbing excess, then storage will also balance the market this year by providing additional supply.
Okay, well, we've just discussed now the different elements. So why don't we kind of pull it together and kind of ask, you know, what are the key kind of supply-related lessons that we should draw from the European price rally in 2021? What do you think they should be?
Well, firstly, the decline in production has left the European market increasingly import-dependent and therefore vulnerable to shifts in supply patterns. Secondly, the increased share of LNG in those imports means that the European market is, as you mentioned, much more exposed to the shifts in supply and pricing dynamics in markets outside of Europe. Now, that has the potential to add volatility. Quite simply, we are now much more connected to the global market. Thirdly, in a tight market, we've seen Gazprom's ability to impact prices, an ability that is almost non-existent in a supply long market. Now, this is hugely significant regardless of the motivations behind Gazprom's sales strategy. Finally, the loss of swing in European production over the past decade has only increased the importance of storage in balancing the market in seasonal terms. Moreover, given the fluctuations in imports, storage plays a vital role in balancing the European market on a year-to-year basis, as we've seen since 2019.
All right, so what does the supply-side outlook look like for the rest of the winter then?
Well, production is unlikely to rebound significantly. Pipeline supplies from Norway, Azerbaijan and North Africa seem to be close to full capacity, and Gazprom has implied that it will only offer additional supply via Nord Stream 2, which is unlikely to enter into operation before the winter. Therefore, much will depend on our LNG imports. Now, while LNG supply may increase in the first quarter of next year, the amount available for Europe will depend primarily on the level of Asian demand. Finally, European stocks, as I mentioned, by the 12th of December were already significantly lower than usual, and the withdrawals in the last 6 weeks have been brisk. So if the withdrawals in Q1 of 2022 are similar to those in Q1 2021 at the start of the present calendar year, or indeed the first quarter of 2018 when we had the beast from the east, then Europe could conceivably reach the end of March with just 10 BCM in storage. In grand European terms, that's about 10% of storage capacity and considered by market participants as pretty close to empty. Now, if Q1 is milder, as it was in 2019 and 2020, then the end of winter stocks could be double that amount and the market will be a bit more relaxed. Taken together, the indications are that supplies may remain constrained, thus supporting prices at their current level. While the greatest uncertainty on the supply side is the availability of LNG, a factor of equal importance will be European demand and the call on supplies. The difference between a winter that is windy with mild temperatures and a winter that is calm with low temperatures is hugely significant for European gas demand. As always, in a tight European gas market, the key factors that will decide prices in the next several months will be the weather in relation to demand and the availability of marginal supply, in this case, LNG.
All right, Jack. Well, look, you've given us a huge insight as to what actually happened in 2021, but I always like to end up, as you know, with a forward-looking question, even though you've slightly answered this one in the last question. Let's just kind of raise the questions. You know, what are the indicators that our listeners should be watching out for, and really for next year, 2022? Have you got any kind of guidance on that?
Firstly, we have to watch progress with Nord Stream 2, because that will play a hugely significant role in determining how much Russian gas we get next year. So that's one thing to watch out for. Another one is the extent to which European storage stocks are withdrawn and drawn down during the winter, because, of course, that has a knock-on effect into injections that will be required next summer. If we have a cold Q1, we draw down a lot of our storage, and then we have to inject a lot to replenish our stocks in Q2 and Q3, then that acts as effectively another source of demand for the European market, and so supports firmer prices. Finally, we should, you know, look to see the extent to which production is recovering by the end of winter, but I don't anticipate too much of a shift there. And of course, LNG, all eyes will be on the Asian market, combined with obviously watching out for any new supply that is due to hit the market, particularly from the United States.
All right, Jack. Well, look, you know, thank you so much for your time. As always, you know, I really enjoyed our conversation. It certainly builds on the messages from your recent paper, A Series of Unfortunate Events, Supply-Side Causes of the Price Rally in 2021, and the Outlook for the Coming Winter. Now, before I finish, I'd just like to remind you, this is the first of three papers which examines the causes of the European gas price rally in 2021. Jack's paper, and this podcast, of course, focuses on the supply side. And in early 2022, we will publish two further papers, one by Anouk Oray on European demand side and the story for 2021, and second, or should I say the third in the trilogy, by Patrick Heather on European gas trading activity in 2021. Well, I hope you've all enjoyed listening to the podcast. This is the last for 2021, so may I wish you a happy new year, and thank you and goodbye to everyone.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Oxford Institute for Energy Studies. You can find other podcasts, as well as all our written research, on our website at www.oxfordenergy.org. If you would like more details about our oil, gas, electricity or China programmes, then please contact us at information@oxfordenergy.org.